All right. Well, we're going to read today from Genesis chapter 25. Genesis chapter 25. This marks the midway point of the book of Genesis. We have concluded already the longest chapter in the book, which is chapter 24. So we're going to read today, beginning with verse 1 of chapter 25 of the book of Genesis. Let us hear God's word. Then again, Abraham took a wife, and her name was Keturah. And she bare him Zimran, and Jokshan, and Medan, and Midian, and Ishbak, and Shua, and Jokshan begat Sheba and Dedan. And the sons of Dedan were Ashurim, and Letushim, and Leumim. And the sons of Midian, Ephah, and Epher, and Hanok, and Abida, and Eldea. All these were children of Keturah. And Abraham gave all that he had unto Isaac, but unto the sons of the concubines which Abraham had, Abraham gave gifts and sent them away from Isaac his son while he yet lived eastward unto the east country. And these are the days of the years of Abraham's life which he lived, 115 years. And Abraham gave up the ghost and died in a good old age, an old man and full of years, and was gathered to his people. And his sons Isaac and Ishmael buried him in the cave of Machpelah in the field of Ephron, the son of Zohar the Hittite, which is before Mamre, the field which Abraham purchased of the sons of Heth. There was Abraham buried, and Sarah his wife. And it came to pass after the death of Abraham that God blessed his son Isaac. And Isaac dwelt by the well Lahairoi. Now these are the generations of Ishmael, Abraham's son, whom Hagar the Egyptian, Sarah's handmaid, bare unto Abraham. And these are the names of the sons of Ishmael, by their names according to their generations. The firstborn of Ishmael, Nebajoth, and Kedar, Adbeel, and Mibsam, and Mishma, and Duma, and Massa, Hadar, Tema, Jetur, Naphish, and Kadima. These are the sons of Ishmael, and these are their names by their towns and by their castles, 12 princes according to their nations. And these are the years of the life of Ishmael, 137 years. And he gave up the ghost and died, and was gathered unto his people. And they dwelt from Havilah unto Shur, that is before Egypt, as thou goest toward Assyria. And he died in the presence of all his brethren. Amen. Trust that the Lord will bless his word as we meditate on it today, for Jesus' sake. I say again, even as young couples have children, there's an abundance of names here that you might choose out one for one of your sons in the future. Well, we are very delighted that my mother can be here today. We trust that winter is past now, and the warmer weather, she'll be able to be here with us more. We have come to the midpoint in Genesis, and in this chapter, we see perhaps the greatest man in all the book of Genesis dies. And he goes to the Lord, leaving this world to be with the Lord eternally. And that is Abraham. Abraham was born some 300 years after the flood. He's a very interesting character because his ancestry and those that he had contact with, according to the number of the years that people lived before the flood, then it was reduced after the flood, and it's come down now to where we are. But we see, I'm hearing of many people living again to be 100 years old and older. That's most interesting. Well, Abraham was born some 300 years after the flood and probably about 150 years after the Tower of Babel. And the people, you know, were scattered in attempting to build that tower to reach to heaven. Abraham grew up in the country where the Tower of Babel was originally constructed, there in the plains of Shinar, in the area of Babylonia, Chaldea. And Abraham was an idol worshiper, just like all the rest of the people there. And at 15 years of age, perhaps then, perhaps sometime after, or even sometime before, that curious young man may have talked with his, not only his grandfather, but his great-grandfather, and even his great-great-grandfather would have still been living for many of the years of Abraham's life. And wouldn't it have been interesting to talk to a man that actually saw the Tower of Babel? And that old man that was Abraham's great-great-grandfather would have lived for another 33 years, even after Abraham had reached the age 15. And so there could have been much conversation. I don't know how much Abraham learned from his ancestors, but there was something of the knowledge of what God had done there. And God giving the gift suddenly of tongues way back then to those people at the Tower of Babel, scattering them abroad. Abraham could have talked to his great-great-grandfather again when he was 48 years old. His great-great-grandfather would have still been living at that time. But we know for a fact that when Abraham was 75 years old, no matter what the influences were, no matter what he had heard, that God very clearly called him out of Ur. And that is something that the Scripture is very clear about. Now, in this chapter, there are three facts that we must consider this morning. And they all begin with Abraham. So this should be easy to remember. Abraham's marriage. Abraham got married again. Verse 1 says, and then again, Abraham took a wife. So Abraham's marriage, then Abraham's money. And we know that he had some money because there were some years that elapsed between the death of his first wife and the marriage to the second wife. So we can legitimately make that second point, Abraham's money. Excuse me, ladies. Okay, and then Abraham's mortality in the third place. So we're going to look first at Abraham's marriage. In verse 1, then again Abraham took a wife, and her name was Keturah. And there in those next three verses, the listing of the names of the sons that they had. Now, Abraham had been married for at least 70 years of his life previous to this. We don't know exactly when Abraham and Sarah got married, but he had had the privilege and had been accustomed to having a good and a godly wife for many years. And God had already declared His will regarding man and marriage back in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 18. What did the Lord say? the Lord said, it is not good that the man should be alone. God said that. It is not good that the man should be alone. So you think about that, young men. Even as I was referring to the second point, it's not good that you be alone and just wallow in all that money. It's not good that you be alone. You need to have a wife to help keep you straight. Okay? There are various reasons why a man needs a wife. But now God had declared, so it was right. Even for an old man, way over 100, 147, 150, what was he by then? I'm not sure what his age was then. But it was right for an old man to marry again. And he and Keturah had 6 sons. Surely this is one of the reasons that Abraham got married again. Because God had promised Abraham that he would be the father of many nations. Well, we knew that he was the father of the Hebrew nation already because Isaac was grown and married and already had 2 sons. And those boys were probably, you know, several years old when Abraham passed away. But he had that nation. And then he had Ishmael, who had already gone forth into the wilderness back toward Egypt. But he wasn't at a great distance removed because they had contact. It is very evident. But there are 2 nations that Abraham is the father of. But what had God said? You will be the father of many nations. So it was right for Abraham to marry. God had told him in Genesis 17 that he would be the father, not just of the Hebrew nation, but of many nations. And I have to disagree with the great expositor, John Calvin, on this point, because he said that Abraham acted foolishly in marrying again at that advanced age. Well, just because Master John Calvin did not remarry when his wife died doesn't mean that every man has to do likewise. In fact, Matthew Henry, another great expositor of Scripture, said, marriage is not forbidden to those in old age. So we move now from the marriage of Abraham to Abraham's money. Look at verses 5 and 6, please. Verse 5, and Abraham gave all that he had unto Isaac. Now that's a rather general statement because you see the particular in verse 6. But unto the sons of the concubines, which Abraham had, Abraham gave gifts and sent them away from Isaac his son while he yet lived eastward unto the east country. Now this is very interesting. It tells us in verse 5 that Abraham gave all that he had to Isaac. Well, that all was a general term because you think of all those nice gifts that he bestowed on those other 7 sons. And I believe we have evidence that he gave gifts to all those 7 sons. This means that he bestowed the inheritance. The great blessing was especially for Isaac, and it was given to him. But there were a lot of things that were given to his other sons. Now, the wealth going to these other sons makes it clear that the totality of Abraham's possessions did not go completely to Isaac. What kind of things do we know that Abraham had to give to his other 7 sons? Well, we read that Abraham had an abundance of silver and gold, of cattle, of sheep, of goats. He had flocks, he had herds, he had much cattle. So it is most likely that each son that Abraham had, he gave, they were all grown at this time before he died, that he would have given to each of those men probably enough animals and enough silver and gold to make a good start in life, to be established and see them go forward. And then he sent them away to dwell in the east. Now that is a very important historical fact that he sent them to the east. Because what is to the east of Palestine? Saudi Arabia? Arabia? All that whole region? Well, that area of Arabia, Abraham was making sure that his sons would be far enough removed from Palestine that Isaac would be able to enjoy all of Canaan land without any interference from his brothers. And this explains something for us in the 21st century. You know what the fastest growing religion in America and in Europe is? Islam. Okay? This has happened before in history. This is not the first time. The Muslims nearly overcame Europe, you know, back in the time of the Reformation. But they were finally defeated and driven back. But the Muslim Arabs claim a very strong connection to Abraham. And they are very jealous, extremely jealous, that the Hebrew people hold so much of Palestine and what they call their holy sites. So the Muslims descended, obviously, these descendants of Abraham's six sons and even Ishmael in that whole area of Arabia from Palestine over to the Euphrates River and then back down toward Egypt. That whole region, descendants of Abraham and also some of Lot's descendants we know of in that region, making up those Arab peoples. Verse 6 calls these sons the sons of the concubines. Now, who were these concubines? You notice verse 6? Here we have the father of the faithful, Abraham. He's got concubines. But unto the sons of the concubines. Verse 6. Who were these concubines? These two women were very obviously Hagar and Keturah. We know, we've read and studied about the matter where Abraham was encouraged by his wife in a very wrong way to have a relationship with Hagar, which resulted in Ishmael. But now we know he married again after the death of his wife Sarah. He married Keturah. Because verse 1 says, then again, Abraham took a wife and her name was Keturah. And Keturah probably smelled nice because her name means fragrance. Well, these concubines, although Abraham had married Keturah, her sons were counted as though they were the sons of a concubine because they were not considered to be the special seed, the heir, like Isaac was. And what was so special about Isaac? Isaac, it was through him that Messiah Jesus would come into the world. Okay, so these sons of Hagar and Keturah were known as the sons of the concubines. And they received gifts. And I say that the receiving of these gifts included Ishmael. Because we know in this chapter that Ishmael was present. He was there to help Isaac bury their father when Abraham died. Verse 9. And his sons Isaac and Ishmael buried him in the cave of Machpelah. So Ishmael did not live so far away that he couldn't be reached. And I believe that over the years, Ishmael had received gifts often from his father because his father was deeply grieved by the fact that God had made it clear, as well as his wife, both of them had made it clear to Abraham that it was the right thing for Hagar and Ishmael to go and dwell in the wilderness. But there is obviously contact because here Ishmael is back. And there was not an estrangement. Ishmael had no doubt received gifts often from his father. And he also inhabited that region of Arabia to the east. Notice what verse 9 says about where Ishmael was living and his sons. I've got verse 9 there. It's a little farther down. Verse 18, actually. Speaking of Ishmael and his sons dwelling, and they dwelt from Havilah unto Shur, that is before Egypt. Shur is going down toward Egypt. And as thou goest toward Assyria in the east. So Ishmael's dwelling was from that area from Egypt over toward Assyria. So he dwelt to the east and to the south of Palestine. Now, that's very interesting about Ishmael. Ishmael, when he died, lived in that very region. Verse 18 tells us that he died in the presence of all his brethren. Now, I've come upon something that has been a great encouragement to me. And I hope that here's something that you may have never heard before, but yet is very scriptural. We read about Ishmael's death in this chapter, and there's some good evidence that Ishmael had actually come to believe in his father's God. That Ishmael had come to believe in the living and true God. Not only had God blessed Ishmael with 12 sons, that's not the proof, but when Ishmael died, the scripture says in verse 17, that he was gathered unto his people. There are two terms that are used in that verse 17. He gave up the ghost and died. That term is almost exclusively referring to godly people. But we can go to the second term at the end of verse 17, and I can tell you that does apply exclusively to God's people. And was gathered unto his people. That Hebrew term, gathered to his people, means that he was gone to dwell among the spirits of the justified that are perfected and glorified. That is the very implication. When Ishmael died, the scripture says he was gathered unto his people. And what people? His people. What do we read about his people? Matthew 1:21. Jesus came to save his people from their sins. Genesis, back in the context of this book of Genesis, chapter 49 and verse 10. Unto Shiloh. Who is Shiloh? It's speaking of the Messiah. Unto Messiah shall the gathering of the people be. His people. That is, the Lord's people. Ishmael was gathered unto these people. And what else do we know about Ishmael regarding spiritual things? Abraham, Ishmael's father, was a great man of prayer. And he had prayed specifically that Ishmael would be so blessed by the Lord that he would be in the presence of God. We read that in chapter 17. And verse 18, he said, "Oh, that Ishmael might dwell, might live before thee." There's more to it than that. The Hebrew word, lafrene, that actually means to live in God's presence. So Abraham was a man of prayer, and I believe that even by the evidence that's given us in this chapter, that Abraham's prayer was answered. Ishmael had himself cried out to God when he was in distress in chapter 21 and verse 17, and God answered. The fact that Ishmael showed respect for his godly father, being there at his funeral and being with his little brother, his younger brother, Isaac, and being very civil toward him at the funeral, shows us something of a change that had come over the man. So I believe all this evidence taken together tends to give us a hope that God's grace had indeed reached Ishmael. Now, we have looked at Abraham's marriage and Abraham's money, or the distribution of his wealth to his sons. Now, finally, we come to Abraham's mortality, or his death. Verses 7 to 10. Notice there in verse 7. And these are the days of the years of Abraham's life, which he lived, 175 years. 175 years. So you know what it says in the next verse, that he died in a good old age. It was a good old age. 175 years. Verse 8. Then Abraham gave up the ghost and died in a good old age. An old man and full of years. You notice of years is in italics, meaning it wasn't in the original Masoretic text. He was full. What does that mean? He was satisfied. Abraham was a man very satisfied with what God had done with his life and in his life. And he was gathered unto his people. Abraham gave up the ghost, it says. Now that's interesting, because Jesus did the same thing on the cross. And I say that that term is almost exclusive to the righteous. The other term, gathered to his people, is exclusive of the righteous in the scripture. But he gave up the ghost. He yielded up his spirit. It didn't have to be taken from him. There was no struggle. At that point, Abraham cheerfully resigned his spirit into the hand of the Father of spirits, because he was ready to go. He was ready to go. He was ready to die. He died in a good old age. He had been a pilgrim following the Lord for no less than a century. Following the Lord for 100 years. He hadn't an easy life. He had stumbled many times, but God had picked him up again and again. Well, you know, sadly, many old people don't seem to enjoy life. They wouldn't be able to say that old age is good. Here we read that he lived to a good old age. That means he was very contented in the Lord and with the will of God. Many old people are not happy. They look back with regrets. They look forward with fears. And they look around them with complaints. But one old man actually had a little humor about him. And he said, even though I'm over the hill, he said, I'd rather be over the hill than under the hill. Well, death is a fearful thing for so many people. There's a natural terror and fear about death. But that wasn't so for Abraham. Abraham was a good picture of the believer. Abraham was not afraid to die. Death was not a threat to him. He died in peace. He was ready. Now, how can you die in peace? Abraham was saved by faith. We read in Romans chapter 5 and verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. So he died in faith. He died in peace. Isaiah 26:3. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee, the prophet Isaiah said, by the Holy Spirit. If your life is hid with Christ in God, then you don't have to fear death. You are ready to die. And we never know. You don't have to be old to die. Many younger people die. It's an awful thing to think about so many people dying and not being prepared to die. You can die without fear at any age. You can die in peace if you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Now, Abraham was ready to die because he had already eaten of the bread of heaven. He had already been drinking from the wells of salvation. So he was ready. How lovely the scene is as the closing scene of Abraham. He dies and his two sons, the two oldest boys, these two brothers, Isaac and Ishmael, bury their father together. And they buried him right where he wanted to be buried. Right where he wanted his body to be. He wanted it to be in the promised land. He wanted it to be in that tomb that he had bought with his own money. He wanted to be in that place where the dust of his beloved wife, Sarah, was already waiting. Been there for many years. And it was the place, we read in verse 9, notice there at the end of verse 9, the place, the cave was before Mamre. Do you remember Mamre in chapter 18? That's where Abraham wanted to be buried because the Lord Himself, in a pre-incarnate appearance, came to speak to Abraham at his tent door at Mamre. So there he was inside of the place where he had seen the Lord, where he had talked with the Lord, and where he had prayed to the Lord. That's exactly where Abraham wanted to be buried. It was the right place. So that's Abraham's life. We're through with Abraham. We're through with our study of Abraham. But I think there's much that we can learn from Abraham. Abraham is a wonderful example. He's a pattern for us. He's an Old Testament character in the very first book of the Bible. But he was saved by faith alone. Abraham was justified by faith. Abraham believed God. It was accounted unto him for righteousness. Free righteousness. Free grace. He believed the Lord. So he was saved by faith alone. What a witness he left. He also left the example of not only being saved by faith, but living by faith. Wherever he went, what did Abraham do in all the places he went? He pitched his tent, he built the altar, and he let his neighbors know, I'm worshiping the true and the living God and no one else. He left the world, the Hebrew nation. And what advantage has that given us? It is through the Hebrew nation that God has given us His inscripturated word. It was also through the Hebrew nation that God gave us His incarnate word, His Son, God manifest in the flesh. So Abraham left us the Hebrew nation. But you know, Abraham's life itself was a very living picture of the Lord Jesus Christ in so many ways. Abraham was chosen of God as the covenant head, as the father of millions of redeemed souls. Isn't that interesting? Abraham was a chosen covenant head. We are told as Gentiles in the book of Galatians, we are children of Abraham. Just like the Jews were His natural seed. We who are of faith are Abraham's children by faith. Like Christ, when Abraham was called and sent out on a mission to a strange country, God called him to go out. He went, not knowing where he was going. Now we know that our Savior knew the spot geographically that He was coming to. He knows all things. And yet, He did not know by human experience what it was like to be here as a human until He got here as a human and dwelt in a strange land among wicked people. Our blessed Jesus obeyed the Father and left the bliss of the realms of glory to become a stranger in a strange land. And just like Christ sojourned in a strange country, as Abraham did, that afterwards, through him, a vast family, a great multitude would receive the gift of an eternal inheritance. So that closes Abraham's life, a life of faith lived on this earth. But he is still living. He is still enjoying the Lord in heaven, where he's been now for thousands of years. The question is, will you be there? Will you go there? Will you be there to enjoy the Lord eternally as Abraham is enjoying Him? Will you be gathered to God's people eternally as He was gathered to His people? If you would go there, you must go there by faith and by faith in Christ alone. If you will ever expect to die happily, if you ever expect to live in peace eternally, you must go through Christ, through His blood, by faith in Him alone. Let us pray together. O God, our Father in heaven, we are thankful for the life of Abraham. We praise Thee for what Thou hast shown us from this great man of faith, the father of the faithful. And Lord, we praise Thee for this wonderful truth of sola fide. We praise Thee that it is indeed by faith alone. It is not by the works of the law. We praise Thee that the works of the law have been fulfilled by Christ for us. And Lord, we thank Thee that Thou hast made salvation so plain, so simple, so easy for poor, dead, benighted sinners. We pray, O Lord, that for the sake of Jesus Christ, that Thou wilt not only give life to the dead here, we pray that Thou wilt strengthen those things which Thou hast wrought in Thy people. And bless us for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen.